Traders Point, welcome. How are we doing? Good. Hey, good to be with you today. Everyone at the campuses, everyone watching online, welcome. And before we get rolling, can we just take a moment to show some honor and appreciation to that hour that we lost this morning, huh? You didn't know how big of a deal that little hour was until you woke up. Some would say you were sleeping on him. Oh, that was good. That just came to me for this one. But excited to be with you guys today. We're starting, continuing in our message series, Red Letter Talks. And here's what we've been doing. We've been opening up our Bibles and looking at these red letters. And really, you see them in two big places in the Gospels, or the biographies of Jesus's life, and then at the very end in the book of Revelation. And the red letters, they mean that Jesus is speaking, right? And what we've been looking at is these letters, these words are incredible. They talk about all kinds of things. There's some that kind of lead to this life of fulfillment and what does it look like for us to flourish as humans. And then there's some other red letters that have these stories or parables that tell us what God is like and what he thinks about me and you. The red letters that are so profound and so wise that they lead us to believe that these aren't the words of a man. These are the very words of God. These red letters are a reminder that God has chosen to write himself into our story, that God became man. And what we've been doing in this series is just grabbing a few chapters in the book of John and looking at the red letters of Jesus. So if you have your Bible, you can either flip open to John chapter 15, starting in verse 18, or you can use an app as well. But to give you a little bit of context as to what's happening here at the end of John, Jesus is about to be crucified. He's about to be murdered, and he knows it. So he's taking this time, it's kind of like a farewell discourse. He's telling his friends and his closest followers all the things that he wants to make sure that they have before he goes. There's some training in this. He's inaugurating this new kingdom and what's about to happen. He wants to make sure they're prepared. So this is what we pick up with in John chapter 15, verse 18. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you're no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you." Welcome to church. Pastor Aaron always gives me the best weekends, you know what? He spoils me, he really does. But that is a pretty good summary of what the next few verses are gonna look like. And the title for today's message is actually, "You Will Be Hated." There's no way around it. He's gonna say it, he's gonna use repetition to make sure we don't leave here without knowing this. And here's the idea behind it. He's saying, hey, because you are attaching yourself to me, you will be hated. And you can try to live a good and moral life. You can try to not offend people. And there's room for that. But at the end of the day, I want you to know that as you go, you will be hated. And this would have been very surprising for them. Because you gotta think, they're thinking, this is our Messiah, this is our Savior, this is our leader. Any day now, he's about to roll into Rome and take over, right? And so when he sits down and says, hey, I want you to know, when I go, you're going to be hated, they're probably like, who's gonna be left to hate us, Jesus, after you wipe everyone out, am I right? And Jesus is like, who told you that? Were you talking to Peter again? Did Peter say that? Because the way he was gonna be victorious was going to look very, very different. So he wants them to be sure of this. He doesn't want them to be surprised or caught off guard. You will be hated. And then he even gives us why we are going to be hated. Look at this in verse 19, we just read it. "The world would love you as one of its own if you," say it with me, "belonged to it. But you're no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you." Yeah, okay. Hey, this is gonna be a good time if we're already clapping. I like it. Hold on to that energy. He says, you would be loved and accepted by the world, But I've called you out of the world, and now you no longer belong to it. You ever find yourself in a place that you don't belong? Like, you're there, but you know you shouldn't be. You can't feel comfortable. You're just kind of wandering, waiting until you get to leave. Do you have that place? I call it Alta, all right? It's this, I can get in on most places. I can find my lane. Alta, I have nowhere to go. But what Jesus is saying is that the world is spinning in this direction and it's moving this way, but I have called you out of it. So you're no longer going that way. And the world hates that because you no longer belong to it, which means you no longer are motivated by the same things as the world. You no longer fear the same things as the world. You no longer have the same agenda as the world. And the world hates that because the world hates things that it can't control. And Jesus says, I want you to know that if I kept you where you were, there's a chance that you would be loved artificially by this world, but I'm calling you out and I'm gonna let you experience a way of life and a love, but it's also gonna come with this other side where you will be hated. And what he wants us to see is that we no longer belong to the world, but he doesn't leave us with that. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, you belong to Jesus fully. We've been talking about this in this series, that to belong to Jesus means he is the vine, we are the branch. We are connected to him, we get everything from him. And let's just do the math on this. If we fully belong to Jesus, that means we can't fully belong to anything else. We can't fully belong to a political party. We can't fully belong to a career. We no longer even fully belong to our own families. But Jesus says, you fully belong to me. And I want us to experience that. I want to sit in that, because a lot of times, even after we start following Jesus, we kind of want the best of both worlds. We want to still hold on to our old way of life and get this new church thing and Jesus, and can we put it all together? But it never works, does it? We try to get the best of both worlds, but we end up getting the worst of both worlds because we can't live like we once did because we have this conviction now, so it's not as much fun. And then we come to church, but we really haven't given ourselves completely to God. So I leave here not feeling like it's enough either. So I'm kind of in between these two worlds where I'm trying to keep one foot in each. And it's kind of like we're living in the splits and it just keeps moving us. And I'm not gonna do the splits right now because I'm not up here to showboat, okay? But I could. But it feels like this tension on us of like we want one foot over here and one foot over there. But what happens is sin isn't as much fun and church isn't as good. So what Jesus is saying is I want you to embrace the fact that you belong to me. But here's the thing, once you embrace that and you stop living in between and you fully give yourself to God and you get to know how much he loves you and the life and the purpose that he has for you and you start living that way, you face even more hatred and even more rejection. But there's also something beautiful that happens in that process. Church stops being optional. The family of God stops being this extended family reunion that I go to sometimes. And it becomes the people on this whole earth where I know I have a space that I belong. Because I experience so much of hatred and persecution and people going against me, but I know, not just on Sundays, I have people in my life that surround me and encourage me, and I have a place that I belong. You belong to Jesus, all of you. And if you're looking for a spot here at Traders Point to say, I want to belong, where do I start? We want to point you to Rooted. You can go to this link behind me to get registered today. Here's what it is. It's 10 weeks, you getting in community with other people to sit down and to talk about what does it mean to fully give myself to God? What does it look like to live on mission and in community? I'm telling you, I can't recommend it enough. Get registered, tpcc.org/rooted.
I got a question.
Well, give me 1 second. I love it. Catch me in the lobby right after this. But what Jesus is gonna do now is he's really just gonna make the same point again to make it make sense to us. Because there's probably this spot right now where you're like, if you're anything like me, a people pleaser, loves doing it right, doesn't want to offend people, wants to keep everything good, you're like, is there another option where I don't have to be hated? Or I think I can do this in a way where I don't have to be hated. And look at what Jesus says right here. He says, do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. Now, but before we talk about what's here, we also need to, I know that there's words here, that because we are where we are in our context, when we see words like slaves and masters, it begins to put thoughts in our heads of like, what is this saying? Did Jesus have slaves? Like, what is this? It's important to see that rabbi, teacher, another word for rabbi is master. So this relationship that he has with his students, his disciples, it would have been in that same way, that he is the master, he's the rabbi. And these guys would have voluntarily gave up everything to follow him. They watched him every single day. They learned to talk like he talked. They learned to act like he acted. They responded every single way. Their whole goal was to imitate him, their master. So what he's saying here is because, he's like, I just want you to play it out, to think about this. If your goal is to imitate me, and you're gonna try to continue being like me if I were here, then you need to know that the world is going to imitate itself as well. And if it hated me, it is going to hate you. And then the word persecute. A lot of times we make that word pretty small. When we talk about persecution, we think someone that's either being arrested or even killed. But persecute is a really big word. A basic definition could just be to harass or to annoy, to be mocked, for someone to show disdain or hatred to you. So Jesus says, hey, just think about it. I did this, I went through this, they hated me. I just want you to be prepared when you step into this space and you bear my image, you're going to be hated. And then look at what he says. He's gonna continue moving in this direction. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This is what Jesus is saying. For those of us that are wiggling, like, I don't know, I think I can do this without being hated. Jesus is saying, I was perfect. I was sinless. I came and I loved these people. I healed these people. I served, I gave them food. I did the miraculous. And they still hated me. Jesus knew. Jesus knew even though this life-changing good news that he came to bring, it was not going to be good news for everyone. And there were gonna be people that stepped up and hated him. But he was okay with that because he knew it was worth it to get his message across. It has to be worth it if we're gonna live in a world that we know is gonna tell us that it hates us. You know, I haven't experienced this personally yet, but if 90s sitcoms have taught me anything, it's that this day is coming where one day my kids are going to tell me they hate me, right? I mean, if Carl Winslow, Uncle Phil, Danny Tanner, if all these guys were hated, my time is coming, right? But what I can imagine is the only thing that gives you the strength to know that the people you love most are hating you in this moment is that you really believe what you are doing is right. And it's hard, but it's possible. And Jesus says, I want you to have that kind of confidence, to be ready. The hatred is coming. And there's no way you can avoid it. And look at the way he closes this in verse 25. Look at what he says. He says, when I did all of this, it actually fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without cause. There was no reason other than they rejected what he was coming to bring. Even if it was the best, they couldn't see a world where his kingdom fit into their world. So they rejected him. They despised him. They hated him. And this is a theme that once you see it, you also see that it shows up over and over again in Scripture in red letters, not just here in this moment, but in arguably one of Jesus' most famous teachings, in the Sermon on the Mount. He actually gives a special blessing for those who are going to be hated. Basically, he's saying, hey, the good life, it looks very different than you think it does. And here's actually a marker to know that you're moving in the right direction. You will be hated. Take a look at this in Matthew chapter 5. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, he says, blessed are those who are hated, but he also put a qualifier in there. Did you see that? He said, if you're hated for my sake, if you're hated because you're sharing my gospel, if you're hated because you're living like I told you to live. So here's the question I want to ask you today. Am I being hated because of me or because of Jesus? There's some of us that are being hated right now, and it has nothing to do with Jesus. You are being hated because you're a jerk. There's no Jesus, it's just you. You are a jerk. You're abrasive. You're hateful. You are sowing seeds of hatred, and then you are reaping those seeds of hatred. And this is a big deal. We want to do everything we can to remove as much of us from the equation as possible. Jesus brings enough hatred on his own. We don't need to add anything to it. That's even like central to our mission as a church. We exist to remove unnecessary barriers that keep people from Jesus. I love the way Pastor Aaron talks about this, of it's unnecessary barriers we want to remove, because there are necessary barriers. That when you just throw up the gospel, when you talk about God, there are natural, real barriers that are there. There are barriers because of who Jesus is and who he says he is that will bring hatred. We are okay with those barriers. But there are unnecessary barriers that we want to do everything we can to remove, right? And some of them are simple. An unnecessary barrier, like smells. You don't know how hard we work as a church to make this place smell good. Thousands of you show up, and then thousands of you leave. And we work so hard so that this place doesn't smell like an armpit whenever the next group comes. Because that's a big deal. You don't want people walking in like, I would love to hear about Jesus, but I don't think I can stay. So there's little things that we do. And there's bigger things of like removing unnecessary barriers, like false teachings, like legalism or moralism, this idea that I think that I have to be really good in order for God to save me. We want to dismantle those false teachings, unnecessary barriers. But there's also unnecessary barriers that are in me. There are unnecessary barriers that I need to be cleansed of, to be healed from, so that God can use me to tell more people about who he is. Our call of holiness, to be made into the image of Jesus, is not just so that we can connect better with God. It's so that we can connect better with one another and be more useful in the mission of God, to be able to share the life-changing gospel. We want to remove as much of us from the equation as possible. We want to be windows, not walls. I want to be able to stand in front of someone and they look right through me and all they can see is Jesus. I don't want to be a wall that people have to go around to get to Jesus. Is there anything about me that is making it hard for people to see Jesus? That's the question that we need to be asking. Is there anything in me, any bias, any undealt with trauma, is there anything inside me that is stopping people from being able to see Jesus? Because I want to cut it out. I want to ask for God. I want to remove it so that it is more and more of Jesus and less of me until it is Him alone.
I
like this. And I know there's another camp that maybe you're saying like, I hear you. I hear you. But if I'm being honest, like, I must be like blessed and highly favored because I can't think of being rejected. I can't think of losing anything for Jesus. I think you guys might be doing it wrong. Maybe. Probably not. The question I would ask you is, do people know that you're a Christian? If you're in this place and you are looking around at the people you know, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, do they know that you are a Christian? Do they know that Jesus is the most central thing to your life? And because of that, that dictates why you do what you do. And I'm not saying you need to get a t-shirt that says, ask me about my Lord and Savior. But like I said, I would be curious if no one around you know that you follow Jesus, because these people know everything about your life. They know your favorite sports teams. They even know your fantasy teams, which is a sermon for another day. No, but really, they know your coffee order. How do they know you take oat milk in your latte, but they don't know that you took communion on Sunday? I'm saying there is space, and I know it's not easy. I'm not gonna stand here on this stage and say, hey, once you start sharing your faith, things are gonna get better and easier, and money's just gonna fall on you, and relationships are gonna get better. We both know when we insert Jesus into the equation, there's a chance this thing goes sideways. There's a chance I lose out on that opportunity. There's a chance I get looked past because of my faith in Jesus. I'm not gonna tell you won't miss out on some things, but I will tell you what we just read in Matthew. It says that whatever you lose for His name's sake, it won't compare to the reward that is awaiting you in heaven. And can I tell you this? The world needs to know you are a Christian. The world needs to know you and me are God's plan A for how this gospel gets out. God has chosen me and you to go throughout the world and to continue to tell everyone about all that Jesus has done. There's a word that He uses for me and you, and we can be different in every single way. We have different gifts and abilities, but anyone who follows Jesus all has this same title. It is a witness. Look at these red letters in the books of Acts. This is what Jesus gives to His people before He ascends into heaven. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my, say it with me, witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And He's gonna connect this to the part that we're gonna be finishing up in chapter 15. Look at what He says here. But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. What does a witness do? Testifies. So the way that He's saying this is gonna break down is that I'm gonna send you the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is gonna point to me. He's gonna tell you about me. He's gonna remind you of me over and over and over again. Then He's gonna tell you the way He wants you to live. He's gonna tell you what He wants you to say. And what I need you to do is say it. How can people know unless me and you are on the front lines telling people about this Jesus that we belong to? But I think there's a catch here that stops a lot of us. That we would say, man, I would love to tell my faith. I would love to be a witness. I would love to testify. I just don't think I'm ready. I don't know if I'm a credible witness. Can I just be very clear on the type of witness that Jesus is calling you to be? There's several kinds of witnesses when you think about a courtroom, right? You have expert testimony and you have eyewitness testimony. An expert testimony is brought in to talk about something very specific. They are an expert. That is why they are brought in. That is not what God has called you to be. You are an eyewitness. You are someone that is brought in because you have seen something that everyone else needs to hear. You don't have all the answers. All you know is this is who I was. I met God. My life changed. That is what I know. And that is what I can speak to. And that is what I can testify to. It is what I believe a work of the devil to make us believe that we are not credible witnesses. And we begin to live this life, I'm just not ready yet. I'm gonna tell people when I get a little bit further down the road. You know, when I clean myself up a little bit more, then I will be a witness. Then I will be on mission for Jesus. But do you know how long it is gonna take you to feel like you are an expert in the ways of God? You will die before that happens. And then you'll be in the only place where God doesn't need any more testimonies. The truth is that you, no matter your space, if you have placed your faith in Jesus, are in a place to share. Even better if you got a little bit of dirt and mud and muck on you, that you can go through life and you can tell people, I'm not perfect, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm being vulnerable. And I'm saying that I am saved by grace. I met a God that loved me and transformed my life. I belong to him. When you have that testimony, that's a relatable testimony. When someone sees you go to church, God loves you, then maybe God can love me too. That's the space that we want to be in, and witnesses from here to the ends of the earth, telling everyone everywhere about who Jesus is and all that he's done. And Jesus is gonna close here. This section actually rolls over into chapter 16. He's gonna tell us why he's mentioned this over and over again, that you will be hated. Here's why. I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. I think sometimes we get caught up in why we come to church and what Jesus really wants us to have more than anything else. He didn't say, I'm telling you all these things so that you can maneuver around the storms. I didn't tell you all these things so you won't have to face rejection. He's saying, I'm telling you all of these things because I don't want you to lose the thing that is most important, and that is your faith. I don't want you to mistake and be confused that just because the world hates you, that is any reflection of how much I love you. And I want you to go out there and I want you to live and never abandon your faith. It's this place that we're gonna go out and we're gonna be hated, we're gonna face persecution, but still at the end of the day, we're gonna be able to stand with maybe shaking knees and even empty hands and to say the world has hated us and rejected us and taken everything from us, but they can't take our faith. Yeah. We live by faith. We are saved by faith. Faith is the most essential thing for me and you. Have you placed your faith in Jesus? And I want to point to some of maybe the most famous red letters this world has ever known. And they're in John chapter 3, verse 16. This is the God that you belong to. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes. That's the space that I want to bring you to today. And the God that you are believing in is the God who sent his only Son. A God who lived a perfect life, a life without fault, but was killed for my sake and yours. He went to a cross where he was crucified. And what kept him there was every reason God had to reject me and you. But he took all of that on the cross and died to it. He took all of God's wrath. Now the only thing left for you to receive is God's love. That you can have this peace in knowing that you may be hated by the world, but you are loved by God. And that is something that you can respond to today. Yeah. When you really come to terms with this is a good God. He didn't love you because you were good. He loved you when you were his enemy. Jesus willingly died for a world that wanted him dead. This is the God that we get to stand under. This is the God that we get to tell people about. And the courage that I want to give you today is to be able to stand and to believe this and to live like it's true. I'm okay with being hated by the world if it means that even one person may come to know the love of God and be accepted by him. And what I want us to do right now is we're just gonna enter into a time of prayer. And I wanna pray over all of you, whether this is your first time receiving this love of God, to know what it means to be accepted by God, I wanna pray over you. And then for all of us, that as we go to stand firm on this truth, that God is with us. And no matter what comes, God loves us. So right where you are at all of our campuses, would you just close your eyes, bow your heads, and pray with us. Father, we thank you so much. God, not just for the words we want to hear, but for all the words, all the red letters. God, thank you for setting us up for what's to come. Thank you. Even if it's hard to hear, God, you know that it's important for us to hear. There's no way around it. We will be hated. But God, we know that hate can never compete with love. God, we know we may be hated by the world, but we are loved by you. So God, I pray that you give us the courage to fully embrace the fact that we belong to you and no one else. God, we will gladly accept the consequences of that. God, help us to not straddle between both worlds, thinking we can belong in both. God, we just want to belong to you. We want to confess our allegiance to you. God, help us to imitate you. Help us to hold on to our faith and not to abandon it when it gets really hard. Help us to share and to be witnesses of all that you've done and all that you want to do. Father, I pray right now for everyone at all of our campuses who wants to place their faith in you. God, I pray that this is the day that they come forward and that they receive this blessing, this gift that it is to know you and to be in relationship with you, to die to themselves, but to be resurrected in new life. God, I pray that there's nothing that stops anyone from receiving that today. Father, it is in your perfect and holy name we pray. Amen.